Hi all, it's Pastor Matt here, looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you today. First somebody told it, then the room couldn't hold it, so the busy tongues rolled it till they got it outside. Then the crowd came across it and never once lost it, but tossed it till it grew long and wide. This lie brought forth others, dark sisters and brothers and fathers and mothers, a terrible crew. And while headlong they hurried, the people they flurried and troubled and worried, as lies always do. And so evil-bodied, this monster lay goaded, till at last it exploded in smoke and in shame. Then from mud and from mire, the pieces flew higher and hit the sad victim and killed a good name. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, Lord, myself included, the ears to hear. I ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Winston Churchill once said in regards to intelligence and counterintelligence efforts during World War II, that the most valuable thing in the world was the truth. So valuable it is, said he, that it needs to be constantly protected by a bodyguard of lies. An interesting statement to lead us into the next part of the Bible series as we look at the ninth commandment, Exodus 20:16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The basis of this command is that we're not to lie. It is a command that I can again confidently say that every person who is listening to this sermon would be guilty of. Now, you might say that I'm making a fairly big claim with that, but I'm going to deflect that criticism straight away by telling you that it's not my opinion, but the opinion of God. Psalm 116:11 says that all men are liars. The reason I'm pointing this up front is that I want everyone to know that this commandment is relevant for everyone, you included. I don't want you sitting there thinking that this would be a great sermon for such and such or so and so, because the truth is, this sermon is just as much for you and I as it is for anyone else. So don't switch off. Hear the word of God and let it affect you, not your neighbor. Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself. Second thing that we have to be aware of is that we have a responsibility when we hear truth. What do I mean by that? Well, if we hear truth that contradicts our own belief in something, then we are obliged to do something about this. A great example of this comes with the interaction between Jesus and Pontius Pilate. When Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of the Jews, I mean, Jesus's response to this question is what is so telling, as we see in John 18:34, when Jesus asks, "Is that your own idea?" And Jesus asks, "Or did others talk to you about me?" Rabbi Zacharias explains it in this way. In effect, Rabbi says, Jesus was asking Pilate if this was a genuine question or purely an academic one. He was not merely checking on Pilate's sincerity. He was opening up Pilate's heart to himself to reveal to Pilate his unwillingness to deal with the implications of Jesus's answer. In the pursuit of truth, intent is prior to content or to the availability of it. The love of truth and the willingness to submit to it demands, to submit to its demands is the first step, Rabbi Zacharias. It's a great question, especially given Pilate's answer, as recorded at the start of John 18:38, when he asks that haunting question in response, "What is truth?" How about you? Are you willing not only to hear the truth, but to also act upon it? Or deep down, are you happy with the lie, the deceit that has been given by Satan and swallowed whole with a pill of apathy? You can see why they say truth is a dangerous thing. Okay, with that spelled out, we look at this command, let's look at it a little bit closer. So Exodus 20:16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What is it that we're being called to do here? What does it actually mean to give false testimony or to lie? Well, let's check out that first, and then we'll work our way through this command. What first then is a lie? Well, a lie, as described in the dictionary, is an intentionally false statement, an untruth, a falsehood, a fib, a fabrication, a deception. Therefore, a false testimony means untrue testimony. Specifically, this commandment prohibits swearing falsely against your neighbor, who, according to Jesus, is in fact everyone. In matters of law and civil proceedings, this is what this is based in, though. But as with all commands, this one goes even deeper, as it's calling for all people to be a witness to the truth at all times. John J. Parsons, in Hebrews for Christians, explains that the Hebrew word for truth, emet, is composed from the first, the middle, and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, thus indicating that it encompasses the first things, the last things, and everything in between. Thus, in relation to our neighbor, who is really everyone, as we've said, we are to be truthful and bear witness to the truth in all moments of our life. He goes on to say that by lying or bearing false testimony, we effectively deny the relationship to the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay, so when we look at this commandment, what's the revelation about God that we receive? What insight does this commandment give to us into the character of God? Now, this is a great question for us to delve into, as this command, just like all the other commands have done, gives us a number of insights into the character of our God. Firstly, given that God is holy and righteous, we can see in God's word that he hates liars. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brothers." And because God hates those who lie and who are false witnesses, we know that there will be no escape from his punishment. Proverbs 19:5 says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Secondly, in line with all the other commandments so far, we can again see the importance that God places on relationship. God knows that lying in all of its forms is a sin and is a breaker of relationship, both with himself as well as with our fellow humanity. Proverbs 26:18-19 says, "Like a madman who throws fire brands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and then says, 'I'm only joking.'" God detests those who lie and bear false witness. This should be incentive enough, really, for us to speak with an honest tongue. Thirdly, we can flip this over to better understand what God loves. While we know God hates the lies of men, Proverbs 12:22 gives us the other side of the coin. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. God loves, or as is described here, delights in those who are trustworthy. It's an interesting thing that many people can't seem to get their head around the importance of something like integrity. Part of integrity is that people can trust what you say as being truth. It's something that we speak to our kids about quite often. There's one more area that I'm keen for us to consider under revelation, dealing directly with Jesus and a statement that he has made, as found in John 14:6, where Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, up front, understand that this statement is an entire sermon in and of itself. So I recognize that one paragraph is not going to do it any justice. But that being said, this is a claim that Jesus made that cannot be overlooked and is, in essence, it touches in some way every aspect of the gospel. From this verse, for today's purposes, I'm only interested or really wanting to focus on the truth claim. In a nutshell, what Jesus is claiming is that he is the truth. If you believe something that is contrary to what Jesus says, then as unpopular and countercultural as it might be for us today, you are wrong and Jesus is right. This again goes back to the claim that of Jesus and Pilate's answer that we looked at earlier. When Jesus makes the claim, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate's answer to Jesus with the question, John 18:38, what is truth? And this leads well into the next area that we're going to cover, being that of confrontation. What's the confrontation for us? What insight does this command now give to us about our own character? Well, the best thing to do here is to go right back to the start of human existence so that we can see firstly and understand the damage that lies have caused on the human race. Let's go all the way back to the first lie ever spoken, Genesis 3:4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. And it was from this lie out of the mouth of the serpent that Eve, closely followed by her husband, disobeyed God, and sin entered the world, and the rest is history. When you think on this, you can see why God hates lies and how humanity apart from Christ is so adversely affected by this terrible sin. Think on John 8:44, when Jesus says to the religious leaders of the day, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In this, Jesus was addressing the fact that people refused to hear the truth of what Jesus was saying and claiming. So in a nutshell, the first confrontation is that apart from God, we are all sinners and are adverse to the truth. Even when it's sitting right in front of us, rather than accept and believe, we frizzle away our opportunity just like Pilate, and we ask the question that suits us best, what is truth? Jeremiah deals with this also when he said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This shows us the desperate state that humanity finds itself in. There is only one cure for this desperately sick heart, and that is Jesus. Without God, we would have no moral compass, and this would in turn lead to a belief that the truth or the telling of the truth is a relative thing, and that there is no absolute truth. Without Jesus, no absolute truth. For a desperately sick heart, apart from Jesus, truth would have no stake in the ground and would be what an individual person deems it to be. Your truth in any given situation, therefore, can be different to my truth under that scenario. This would lead us into a world devoid of morals and the inability to recognize right from wrong, truth from a lie. Personal rights would take center stage. Victims would become the perpetrators, and perpetrators would be held up as victims. We see it even now, don't we, when news outlets who report the looting and the violence perpetrated by protesters vindicate the actions that we are seeing on TV. I saw a news article of someone who was in full support of the protests and even apparently didn't disagree with the looting and destruction of other people's property. They were all for it until their own place was looted, graffitied and damaged. Then their own rights and their own truths kicked in, and they labelled the protesters criminals. Nothing had changed, only the personal truth of somebody who saw things one way, as long as it didn't affect them. Jeremiah 17:9, let me repeat it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Now, I understand that we have barely scratched the surface regarding the confrontation for us. But I wanted us to touch on one more thing before we move forward to the instruction. And that is to do with 1 John 2:4. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is another aspect of false witness or lying, when we say one thing, but we do another. Or in some cases, when we say one thing with no intentions to do anything. In this instance, John is challenging those who claim to know and follow Jesus, but who do not do what he says. How can you call yourself a follower of Christ if you don't follow? We can't legitimately say one thing but do another. So with this knowledge, what now is our instruction? What does this commandment mean that we should do or do differently under the grace of our God? Let me share with you a few things that can make sure that we do or that we shouldn't do in regards to this command. Firstly, we are, as this command clearly states, not to give false testimony against our neighbor. As I've already pointed out, our neighbor, as Jesus described, is actually everyone. Leviticus 19:11-12 says, "Do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." We are therefore to always speak truth. That is, don't make statements that are not true in their entirety. It doesn't matter if they're black, green, or even little white lies. A lie is a lie is a lie. Even when you think you're saying it for good reasons. Think on this. Satan is the father of all lies. So that little white lie that you've told to spare mum over her cooking has not come from God, but from Satan. Get into the practice of telling the truth in a loving way. For example, if my wife Lindell cooks a meal that tastes terrible, when she asks how that meal was, I have a few options still open to me without lying, depending on where she is on the emotional scale. I might say, it was very nourishing, love. Thank you for the meal. I could say, it was a bit different from your other meal style. Or number three, I could say, I have to admit, it was not my favorite meal that you have ever cooked. A fourth option could be on a scale of 1 to 10, it probably sat on a 3. Maybe don't say that. Five, you might say, what did I do to deserve a meal like this? No, don't say that either. Or the last one, you might go, oh, you know, Darl, you know I love you. You know that I appreciate all that you do for me and the family. But to be honest, I have to admit, I did not enjoy this meal. So there's a few bad examples in there. But luckily for me, Lindell's a great cook. But you get the gist. White lies are not okay. Tell the truth. Tell the truth in love. Secondly, we must let our yes be yes and our no be no. Some people might claim that they didn't lie in a given situation, but what they did do was misrepresent the truth. The courts are full of misrepresented, over and understated, apparent truths. The reality is that we shouldn't need a degree in law to be able to ascertain a truthful statement. As believers, we are to be a people of integrity, honest in all of our dealings, beyond reproach. Thirdly, 1 Peter 3:10-11 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." We must ensure that we keep our lips from deceitful speech. That means to turn away from gossip and to keep from spreading false rumors about someone else or a situation. When it comes to rumors about different things, check your facts before you add to the falsehoods that are already circulating. And this is especially prevalent in our society today, with social media being a cesspool of falsehoods, with which people mindlessly click on and share without actually ever considering or confirming the facts. In a nutshell, the ninth commandment deals with respect for the truth, in that we should always speak the truth and a protection of other people's reputation from false claims, lies, and gossip. I had people question me only this week about false things that they've heard, rumors and speculation about other people and situations that had started as speculation and grown into false facts. It's a dangerous and damaging thing to speak as somebody in authority on a subject when you yourself are only speculating. Do not gossip, slander the good name of another, or spread false rumors. And while there are so many other areas that I could look at, and there are heaps, I want to kind of take a different track and touch lastly on something that Jesus had to say. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a huge statement and claim that Jesus made that cannot be overlooked and in essence touches in some way every aspect of the gospel. Jesus is claiming that he is the truth. If you believe something that is contrary to what Jesus says, then as unpopular or as countercultural as it might be for us today, you are wrong and Jesus is right. But on another level, I want for us to understand that with this statement, Jesus makes it clear that he is the only way to the Father. There are many people, including some Christians, who think it doesn't really matter what other people believe. All roads lead to God. But this is just not true. I've heard parents who claim to be Christian tell me that they don't mind what their kids believe or do as long as they're happy and healthy. And this tells me one of two things. They themselves have no real concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if they did, they would be on their knees praying for the soul of their kids every day. Or they have swallowed a lie from Satan that Jesus is in fact not the only way to God. Don't tell people a lie to keep the peace. Tell them the truth. Speak the truth in love. And finally, what's the promise that we receive here? Well, to close, I'm wanting to touch on three different aspects of this promise. So Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." The first thing that I want for us to know is that when we journey in this life with integrity, with no deceit on our lips, we bring delight to God, the very maker of this universe. God notices your integrity. The cost of your stand in this world for doing what is right and godly does not go unnoticed, nor will it ultimately go unrewarded. We are also seeing in this verse that those who take the crooked paths will be found out. If not in this world, their sins will be revealed on Judgment Day. Secondly, with that, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." We can know with certainty that Jesus is the only option to the Father. If people claim that there is any other way than Jesus, then the truth is not in them, and they don't know the one who claims the truth. Through Jesus, we can be assured of life eternal in the presence of God. Without Jesus, we can be assured of death eternal with the absence of God. It's not something you want. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Friends, be set free. Jesus is the truth. Find him, know him, learn about him, have that relationship with him. There's so much to this command, so many things that I've not addressed and not even approached. But the bottom line is probably best summed up fantastically in the last two passages that I'll share. Colossians 3:9-10. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." And Proverbs 12:22, where it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." Friends, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Don't lie. Be lovingly truthful in all your dealings. Be someone who is known to be trustworthy. That's what God delights in. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus and the love that he has for us, Lord. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would challenge us in this command, Lord, to be honest and to always be honest and truthful in the things that we say, to not be deceitful in the things that we say. Lord, I just ask that you would challenge each of us to be more like Jesus in this, Lord, to want to delight you with this. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would prod us as we move forward, Lord. If we are in the midst or about to lie, whether it be a white lie or whatever it might be, Lord, whatever we want to label it, that your Holy Spirit would prod us and we would stop and think first and then speak the truth in love. Lord, that can be hard, and I just ask that you would give us the words to speak in those moments. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name.